Hello, and welcome back to Adobe's podcast, which is about reducing food waste with Too Good To Go. I'm Louise Midgley, and in this episode, I'm going to be chatting about something that is extremely important to us all if we want to reduce our carbon footprint, and that's tackling food waste. It's estimated that one third of all food produced for human consumption is wasted. So I'm delighted to be joined by Jamie Crummie, who is co-founder of Too Good To Go, a company that's dedicated to combating food waste. Hello and welcome, Jamie.
Thank you very much for having me, Louise.
Leading the food waste revolution, Too Good To Go is a social impact company committed to saving surplus food that would normally go to waste. They've teamed up with Dobby's to offer customers magic bags, which will be filled with fresh surplus food that can be purchased at a discounted price. It's a brilliant initiative, and I'm really keen to hear more about it. So, Jamie, could you tell us more about Too Good To Go and your mission?
It would be my pleasure, though I think you've done a pretty good job for me there. So let's see how I get on. In short, here at Too Good To Go, we're a social impact company that is all around fighting food waste. Our vision is really to achieve a planet with no food waste, and our mission is to inspire and empower people to fight food waste together. So most people tend to know us through our mobile platform, our app, which connects consumers with businesses who have surplus food for sale. At the same time, this platform, our marketplace, allows us to fuel our other wider initiatives when it comes to fighting food waste. So this is the work that we do with households, the wider work we do with businesses, the work we do with schools, from everyone from learning their ABCs to through to their PhDs, and the work that we do in public affairs, where we try and spark some policy change with respect to food waste. As ourselves, some top line numbers, we've operating in 15 markets globally. We work with over 60,000 different food businesses and have over 30 million users who collectively have rescued more than 60 million meals from going to waste. So it really is just sort of the tip of the iceberg, but something we're so excited to talk about is the impact that we're having on a day-to-day basis with fighting food waste.
Oh, that's really impressive. And initially, what had sort of inspired you to start the company?
Yeah, so my story, I think it's probably a bit different from many other sort of food waste warriors. I don't come from a family of chefs or people like that and who experienced food waste firsthand from a young age. But, what I have taken from my parents, from my family, is this desire and this drive around social and environmental impact. So this is something that's, very much stayed through me through all my professional career and my younger days as well. I've come from a background prior to starting Too Good To Go of working in human rights and within refugee law. I guess my journey into food waste, it dates back to when I was out living and working in Australia. So I was there, I was studying and working for a human rights organization, whilst at the same time having to have some side jobs in hospitality. If anyone's been to Australia, they might know how expensive it was at the turn of the 2010s. It was there that I experienced food waste of such scale. I was working for an events agency where it was, it was silver service for anything from sort of expos through to award ceremonies and things like that for a couple hundred people at any given time. And what was common practice here was to cook up a surplus. So there was always around a good 10% of covers cooked in excess in case something went wrong with the ovens or whatnot. And 9 times out of 10, everything went smoothly and according to plan. But then we were left with this large surplus come the end of the evening. And there was no solution in place. It wasn't a case that it was redistributed or wasn't fed to staff. It was just thrown into the bin. And, this never sat right with me as something that was morally okay. And it got me thinking whether, this scale of food waste was something unique to the agency I work for. Was it unique to the event industry or just unique to Australia in itself? Anyway, fast forward a few more years, and I was working with Amnesty International, and we were doing an event which was actually catered for by an organization who rescued food, much like the food I had previously been throwing in the bin in my times in Australia, but repurposing that into casseroles or stews, curries, etc. And speaking to these people, and as someone who's always been motivated and inspired by social and environmental justice, I was shocked that my lack of understanding around the scale of the issue of food waste. You know, it got me thinking, you know, it was amazing what these people were doing. So, you know, how is it that we could get people rescuing food before it hits the bin themselves? And, you know, I guess, you know, as you say, the rest is history, essentially.
Well, yes, and I think when you experience it for yourself firsthand and you see that food being thrown away, it is quite shocking. My son used to be a chef and we've heard similar sort of stories about what went on in restaurants and perfectly good food just being put in the bin at the end of the day. And as you say, not even being offered to the staff, which is such a terrible waste.
It is. It's really awful. And, you know, when you talk of your son there, it really gets me thinking that, you know, he himself must have been, you know, he's that there is his passion, which is cooking food. And, you know, he spent his whole day here, you know, preparing and serving and cooking this food, that it's so unrewarding to then have to throw that food in the bin and at the end of the day, which is where our solution comes in, which is to ensure that, you know, restaurateurs, food businesses have a safety net in which any of this surplus can find a happy home.
Of course. And of course, chefs should know what to do with the leftover foods, to, as you said, to turn them into casseroles or to stews or something, soups or whatever. You know, it should never really be wasted, should it, in the first place?
Exactly. No, particularly when we think of the journey that food has gone on. I mean, what a lot of people tend to forget about when we're talking around food waste is that when food is thrown away, it's not just a waste of the person's time who's actually gone in preparing that, but it's a waste of all of the resources that have gone into producing that food in the first instance.
Yeah, the whole system from the start to finish, exactly. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could collectively stop that one third of food from being wasted? Because the knock-on effect would be thousands of saved air miles, and goodness knows how much less plastic would have to be produced to package it all. You know, it would be a phenomenal achievement if we could, you know, you're addressing the balance, I think. You're trying to get the numbers lower.
This is what our mission is. If we can do one thing, it will be to achieve a planet with no food waste. And that might be the most ambitious goals that we have, but we're going to do our darn hardest to try and achieve it.
And get as close to it as possible. JB, I've downloaded the Too Good To Go app, and although I've got a rough idea of how to use it, could you just explain a bit more fully how it works?
Of course, it would be my pleasure. So, as I've sort of mentioned earlier, the Too Good To Go platform is essentially a marketplace, and it's a marketplace for surplus food. So once you've downloaded the platform, our users log on and they'll see a whole host of different businesses. You know, it's an eclectic mix of food businesses. And these range everything from your local cafe to local bakery, all the way through to sort of high street change, to supermarkets and retailers, through to hotels and even food producers. So what our users do, they then purchase what we refer to as a magic bag and then collect it from that food business during an allotted collection window, typically the last sort of 30 to 60 minutes of service. But you're probably wondering, you know, what a magic bag is.
I just think that the name magic bag is a genius name because it's such an intriguing name. You know, anybody must want to buy a magic bag because they just want to know what's inside it.
It's fantastic, isn't it? And, you know, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this fun moment, this magic moment of going to rescuing food from various different food establishments. And that's the fun part, right? It's keeping an app which is a solution to fighting food waste. It's something that is, you know, simple, accessible and fun. The app itself is intuitive to use. It's very easy to get to grips with. 97% of the UK has access to a mobile. When we're talking about apps and technology of this description, it's incredibly accessible. But at the same time, it's fun. You know, when we often talk about environmental causes and causes like fighting food waste, we can often focus on the doom and gloom of it. But actually, it's so much fun, and this is where the magic bag comes in. And,
you know, it's like a positive, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. What's more fun than going to, you know, one of Dobby's food halls and collecting, you know, a magic bag with an assortment of different grocery items
at a bargain price?
Yes, I've been told many times it's like Forrest Gump saying, yeah, when you pick up your magic bag, you never quite know which one you're gonna get.
I like that. How funny. And so let's talk about the magic bags in Dobby's. Perhaps you could tell us perhaps a little bit more about what people can expect to find in those bags. I know it's going to be a surprise, but just a generalisation and just a rough idea of perhaps how much they're going to cost.
We've now rolled out to over 40 Dobby's food halls across the UK, and we'll be extending this number over the coming weeks and months. So in terms of the bags themselves, Too Good To Go users will pay £3.99 for a magic bag that has the approximate value of anywhere between £12 and £14. So all they need to do is download the Too Good To Go app from either the App Store or Play Store, and they can get rescuing magic bags straight away. Now these bags will, you know, contain lots of delicious, you know, fresh produce. So this will be anything from fresh meat, fresh fish, dairy products, deli products, fresh fruit and veg, ready meals, and any ambient products that might be approaching or reaching their use-by or best-before dates. This will be all the food that is from the Dobby's Sainsbury's food halls. So essentially, what Too Good To Go users will be collecting in their magic bag is an assortment of food, or all the types of food that you could expect to get in your local Sainsbury's.
Fantastic. And you just touched on something that I think I must just ask you about. The terms best before, sell by and use by, I find them quite confusing because some are more specific than others.
You wouldn't be alone.
No, I'm sure I'm not alone exactly. I'm sure lots of people feel exactly the same as I do. So maybe you could help clarify them a bit.
Yes, it's actually really amazing that you've asked that, because we've just launched a campaign in January of this year, which is all around trying to demystify date labels themselves. So as you've alluded to there, Louise, you know, we have everything from use by to best before. You'll find display until, sell by, and a whole host of
There's
other
more,
markings.
Exactly. I named three, but I know there are more. There are a lot more terms.
Completely. And it gets incredibly confusing as to what date we should actually be following. The rule of thumb, best before, is a quality guidance metric, which means that food is completely safe to eat once it's gone beyond its best before date. It just might not be at its tastiest. So think of, you know, I always sort of describe it as, you know, your cornflakes are still going to be safe to eat once they've gone beyond their best before. They just might not be at their crunchiest.
Right. Yes, I see.
Whereas the use by is all around safety. So if food like fresh fish or fresh meat has gone beyond its use by date, it then becomes a health and safety issue. So stick to the use by. But when it comes to best before, use your senses. So look, smell and taste food once it's gone beyond its best before date. Use your common sense, use your senses to assess on best before products. All of the other labels, the display untils, the sell bys, etc., these are all for internal purposes, for stock rotation. So ignore those and just use your senses when it comes to best before, and stick to the use by dates.
So best before would probably be for stuff in tin cans and maybe sort of dried fruit, anything in packaging like that.
You'd be actually quite surprised at the amount of food which comes in best before. It's probably easier to say what isn't best before what is. So lots of people actually believe that dairy products, so milk, cheeses, yogurts, eggs, etc., should be a use-by product. But in fact, it's a best before.
Oh.
So with yogurts as a prime example, you know, once they've gone beyond their best before date, you know, they're still perfectly safe to eat. The flavor intensity is going to decrease and the acidity is going to increase. So essentially, they're just not going to taste great.
No, no. So as you said, use those senses, you know, judge for yourself. If it doesn't smell right, then don't eat it.
Exactly, yeah. Use your senses when it comes to the best before date. So we've launched this campaign, and you know, we've actually partnered with a whole host of other brands that are printing this messaging on pack. So keep an eye out for that in different retailers. You may even be collecting some of those labels through your magic bags at the Dobby's stores, which would be a fantastic story in itself. It's very confusing when we're talking about date labels, but hopefully that there helps to demystify them a bit and give some additional clarity.
Yeah, I think so. Those two, just focus on those two. They're probably the most important ones, aren't they? And Jamie, I'm a keen gardener, and in common with so many people these days, I grow lots of edible crops, fruit and vegetables and herbs and cut and come again salad leaves and all sorts of different things. Do you have any tips on how we can all make the most of our homegrown produce?
Certainly. I think the most simple thing for me is to, for any gardener who's making their own produce, first of all, congratulations. You know, fantastic. I think that there is one of the best things. And I myself have always dabbled a bit in growing tomatoes, lettuce, radishes. But you realise the amount of effort that goes into creating this food. So whether we're talking about tomatoes, just to grow about a kilo of tomatoes, we're talking about hundreds of litres of water, which is needed to produce them, not to mention the amount of time. Hopefully this in itself, the very act of growing your own fruit and veg, will change that mindset and approach to food, because you realise the amount of effort that goes into producing food on scale. Secondary to that, it's about embracing root-to-peel cooking. Whether that's, you know, the potatoes that you've used in your vegetable patch, not peeling the potatoes themselves, but actually cooking with the skin on, or if you have to peel the potatoes for a certain dish or whatever it is you're cooking, think of ways in which to utilize that. You know, simple things could be a little bit of oil and a lot of salt and pepper, and you've got yourself some nice roasted crisps. Or with the tips of your carrots and stuff like that, finding other alternative things to do with them, upcycling them into sauces, whether it's a pesto of some description or something like that. But it would be very much, I'd say, about changing that mindset around food, which is thinking of the effort that you've gone into creating those vegetables in your own gardens and applying that to all of the other food you've used, but embracing the concept of stem to root cooking.
Absolutely. And also, potatoes are a fantastic crop to grow because they can live in the ground until you need them. So I actually grow mine in potato bags, grow bags, or last year I grew them in a massive big terracotta pot that I had. And I think also people have to sort of just grow the vegetables that or fruit that they actually like and they know they're going to eat. There's no point growing marrows if you don't like marrows, you know, just because you know you can grow them. Grow what you know you can eat. And if you get gluts, and share them with your friends, because neighbours and friends will always want fresh produce, won't they?
Storing root veg like that is knowing where to keep them in your cupboards. So keeping your potatoes and onions, for example, separate if you're keeping them in your pantries, because the onions will actually accelerate the process.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you've got a garage or somewhere that's not too cold, then that's probably ideal for people.
Certainly. There's all sorts of amazing hacks that people can Google as ways in which of storing certain fruit and veg. Like, people often fall into the trap of thinking that tomatoes should be stored in the fridge, but actually they're better kept in a fruit bowl.
People can, of course, cook things and freeze them. You know, tomatoes especially, you can have them in pasta dishes later in the season.
Definitely. And, you know, my auntie, she always has a fantastic tomato bush every single year, which always produces a huge glut of tomatoes. It's just finding the ways in which to keep them using, whether it's pasta sauces or soups, even freezing them in certain ways as well. So it's getting creative, and it comes with this confidence of cooking. The more that we can cook and get to know our produce better, and then utilize the tools at our disposal, whether that's a freezer or even, as you're saying, you know, sharing food as well, sharing it with friends and sharing it with family.
I think a lot of people have a lot of food waste in their fridge. It'll be that odd bit of cheese that they haven't used, or, you know, maybe leftover meals from the night before, and then it suddenly just sits in the fridge and then eventually it gets put in the bin. Have you got any tips sort of to minimise that kind of food waste?
The first thing that I would say, that like the way in which we can reduce this household food waste, is just by changing our mindset. Actually recognising that food itself is something that is so intrinsic to our own development and our own survival. And it is this, you know, it's this social glue that brings us together, whether it's sharing a marrow with your neighbours or cooking a feast for your family. But recognising it as something which is so intrinsic to us that we shouldn't be throwing away, rather than a commodity which we don't feel any guilt or remorse about because we've paid for it. So it's changing that mindset, I think, is the first and foremost most important thing we can do. And then when it comes to the other things, it's just little tweaks in the way in which we store our food or the way in which we're preparing our food. So, you know, actually utilizing our freezer as much as possible. If it's leftovers, you know, freeze it down. Other things is actually looking at the way in which your fridge is organized. Lots of people tend to keep their milk and other dairy products in the door of the fridge, when in actual fact that will just accelerate the process in which your milk will go sour because of the temperature change from the door opening. So keep things like dairy products and meats at the bottom of your fridge, which will be the coldest part. Keep the door of the fridge for best before products, whether it's orange juices or carbonated soft drinks of some description. You know, keep them in the fridge door, or your wine.
and
keep that chilled there. Reorganizing your fridge to make sure that you're utilizing the space effectively for the temperatures, and making sure your fridge is at the correct temperature. So your fridge should be at 5 degrees, where typically most households are having it at 8 degrees, which isn't chilling it enough to maintain the life of certain products. And the final thing is just get creative in the kitchen.
Composting is another great way to combat food waste, and the crumbly compost that is made is full of essential nutrients and soil organisms that are so beneficial to garden plants. Do you have any suggestions about how best to go about making compost?
Certainly. I think it's brilliant when we can make our own compost, right? But what we should be trying to do is just using compost for that unavoidable food waste. So that might be your apple core, your eggshells, things that we can't really think of things in which to upcycle them with. So there should always be a way in which we can get that last squeeze out of a piece of fruit or veg or food. So whether it's the zest of a lemon, or whether it's the vegetable peelings from root veg to roast them into delicious crisps. So I just want to ensure that when anyone's making their compost, it's gone through that whole process of trying to upcycle it as much as possible. I'm fortunate enough myself actually to have a garden, so any of our unavoidable food waste goes straight into the compost bin. And I just use the simple formula of the same amount of food to the same amount of greens to the same amount of water, and then mix it all up. I do have some friends though who aren't as fortunate as myself to have a garden and live in flats and things, and so they've given me some good tips when it comes to composting with limited space. So you can actually make your own mini compost bin, you know, particularly useful if your residence doesn't have food waste collection. Make some holes in the plastic container to allow the drainage. Place it on a plastic tray, essentially, so you can collect it all there. And then add your base layer of soil mixed with, you know, wet torn paper or cardboard or something like that. So before you start adding your food scraps and stuff, add in a few worms and Bob's your uncle. You're ready to start composting.
So you need a mix of dry material and wet material. Wet material is generally classified as grass cuttings or uncooked vegetable food waste. No meats or cheese or anything like that. The thing about the dry waste and the wet waste together is it needs to be aerated so that the organisms can do their work and break all the material down into lovely crumbly compost. But yes, it's so rewarding when you dig it out and put it back on the flower beds. And that's full of just amazing nutrients. It's wonderful stuff.
And that in itself is a fantastic piece of the circular economy within your own home. So if you're making your potatoes or carrots or whatever it is, it's all going back into your own sort of mini ecosystem within your household. You can really feel like you're doing your bit.
Yes, the tops and the tails of the carrots are going back to make compost to grow more carrots.
So yes.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Unless you've used the tops of the carrots for a pesto or salad or something like that.
Yes, you could have done that. But Jamie, I think people don't want to waste food. They genuinely don't want to waste food, but they just don't really know how to go about it sometimes, about wasting it. So what sort of simple solutions and practices can we all apply to our everyday lives to help minimise this food waste problem?
I'm going to sound like a broken record, Louise, but I think, you know, fundamentally it starts with our mindset and our approach to food. So let's stop viewing food as a commercial commodity in which we buy and view it as a product which we can throw away, but actually start viewing it as something which is so intrinsic to ourselves and so fundamental to our being. So we appreciate it so much more and we value it so much more. I think that there is the number one thing that we can start doing. Outside of this, you know, it goes back to some of the other topics that we've touched on, whether it's meal planning properly, whether it's actually going back to making a shopping list, whether it's organizing fridges better, keeping the temperature at the right time, utilizing our freezers for things like leftovers and stuff like that. There's so much we can be doing. Again, talking about these tips and tricks of storing certain foods in certain places, whether it's tomatoes out of the fridge, whether it's separating the potatoes and onions and things like that in our pantries, there's loads of available resources out there on the internet. So I'd encourage people as well to look to our blog. So on the Too Good To Go website, go come to our blog. There's a whole host of tips and tricks here, as well as amazing recipes to be using the zest of that lemon or the roots of carrots and things like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, I looked at the blog and there was just like wonderful features to read. I really loved it. So, Jamie, thank you so much. I think that's all we've got time for today. But thanks for joining us and sharing all your amazingly constructive ideas. I found you quite inspirational.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to rescuing a Dobby's magic bag myself.
Fantastic. Be sure to visit the Too Good To Go website to find out more about their fantastic work. And visit dobbys.com for more podcasts, advice and gardening inspiration. And do stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming soon.